Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's time.
Time for Silver and Black today.
To the ground game. Touchdown, Las Vegas. We're breaking down the latest Raider news from on and off the field. And bringing you conversations with newsmakers and record breakers. So hold on, Raider Nation. It's time to
get it on.
Here's your hosts, Scott Goldbranson and Mo Moulton.
Welcome back. Silver and Black today, an Odyssey original podcast talking nothing but Las Vegas Raiders. Thanks for being back with us. Also, a hearty hello to our radio audience in Las Vegas, Nevada, home of the Las Vegas Raiders. If you're listening to us on 98.5 The Fan or 1140 The Bet, thanks for checking in. Raider Nation, we certainly appreciate it. Make sure you also subscribe to the podcast because we do it all during the week as well. We'd appreciate you coming along for the ride there as well. Speaking of, as I go on this ride, I never do it alone. It's always with my partner, my good friend, the national NFL writer for Bleacher Report, also the Raiders columnist up on sportsnot.com. That is Mr. Mo Moulton. You can follow him on Twitter at MOEMOTON. Not only on the Raiders, but anything else NFL, he's got you covered. Mo, here we are back again. We took a day pause, show yesterday, show today, after obviously the just horrific incident here in Cincinnati. And it's just crazy because this game, we talk about it every week. You write about it every day. And sometimes life just slaps you in the face and you see the humanity involved here. And it's just good to see, I think, some unity. I've seen the whole country kind of get behind this whole situation and make sure that, hey, let's put aside divisions for a minute and pray for this young man. Really, really heartfelt and nice to see from the NFL community.
Right. And I think the NFL has done the right thing where they haven't decided what's going to happen with that game yet. I believe Troy Vincent said that because they've been so concerned with Hamlin's condition, Hamlin's condition. And that obviously comes first before any result or any playoff implications. That's obviously all secondary. But I was pleased to see the Cincinnati fans. And I know you're in Cincinnati.
Yep.
And it was cool to see how they reacted and how they responded to all of this. Some fans even showed up at the hospital, fans donating to DeMar Hamlin's toy drive. So many acts of kindness, and it was just pleasing to see.
Yeah, that toy drive, which had a goal of $2,500 for the holidays, is now up over $4 million. And I know once DeMar is up and Adam and healthy, which it sounds like the latest report we had on Wednesday was that they've turned him over on his stomach. So there's improvement there. He's got a long way to go, clearly, after in what appears now to have been two bits of cardiac arrest. So in essence, two of those things. It's just incredible that he's still alive. And yes, the people of Cincinnati, the whole community, actually, all I sent you and Evan, of course, Evan Grote from Just Pod Baby lives up in Buffalo. His wife is a Bills fan. And I've been sending them pictures because the whole city here in Cincinnati is any lights are blue and red for DeMar. And so it's been very good and everybody feels very close. And of course, Bills Mafia overall, Bills fans, very good people. I've never had a bad interaction with them. And so I think the camaraderie, it also goes back to, if you remember, Andy Dalton, when he was on the Cincinnati Bengals at the last game of the season, hit a pass to win the game and put the Bills into the playoffs. If you recall, they hadn't been there in 20 years or whatever it was. I can't remember the number now. So the Bills and Bengals fans kind of have a close camaraderie, and that got closer with this incident here. And by the way, huge shout out to the folks at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center and all the first responders on the field. Mo, I mean, you know, we see these people every day in our lives, and I don't think we appreciate them enough until we have a disaster or something crazy like this. But those folks made sure that he got in the best hands as quickly as possible, and that's why he's alive today.
Right. I believe it was his uncle was on CNN being interviewed, and basically, I think you alluded to it, that he needed to – basically, he said he died twice.
Yeah.
Once on the field, they had to administer CPR. And then when he got to the hospital, again, his heart gave out. So, as you said, shout out to the people who were first responders and taking care of DeMar Hamlin in time of need.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to jump into Raiders football now, as we always do. And a couple things, Mo, we want to hit here in this first segment. One was an article that came out yesterday from our friend Vinny Bonsignor over at the Las Vegas Review-Journal that has to deal with Derek Carr. We're going to talk about that bombshell that he dropped there. And then on the tail end of this segment, we'll talk about also something we talked about yesterday, which was the David Carr comments. Now, the time we recorded that show, since we delayed it a day, it had been dated a little bit. He still hasn't gone on the Carr family podcast thing yet, but he did talk about his brother's situation on the NFL Network. We're going to get to that on the second half of this segment. But first, I want to start with this bombshell, Mo, and I'm going to bring it up here on the screen for everybody to see. And that was from Vinny's piece where he talked about, if you go back to the headline, I think it's something to the effect of Raiders top priority signed Tom Brady to replace Derek Carr. That was the headline. So, you know, a headline like that, people are going to start reading. But as you get into the story here, and I'm showing it on the screen if you're watching us on YouTube, and I will read it for those listeners who are listening to the audio. And under the quarterback situation, it says, quote, the Raiders concluded Carr was not a long-term fit within weeks of the start of the season. Benching him eliminated a risk of $40 million injury, guaranteeing kicking in had he gotten hurt the final two games of the season. Then the next paragraph says, quote, the Raiders were determined not to be handcuffed to a quarterback they no longer believed in and one that represented a major drag on their 2023 salary cap. That's from Vinny Bonsignor in the Las Vegas Journal. And Mo, let's jump in a couple layers here. Number one, and you sent me this story. I was running around on at the office and I didn't see it until you sent it to me on Wednesday. And then as I read it, I was like, wow. And of course, the question started popping in my head. And so in this first paragraph, we hear that they understood within a couple of weeks of the season that he was not the long-term answer in Las Vegas in the silver and black. And my question, Mo, is if that's the case, if Josh McDaniels, Dave Ziegler, knew within 2 or 3 weeks, I don't know what a few weeks means, but we're going to say 2 or 3 weeks, let's say four, that Derek Carr was not their answer, that they wanted to move away from Derek Carr at the end of the season. Why was a change not made earlier? I don't, especially with the start the Raiders had. I have so many questions on this, but I want to get your reaction first to that explosive fact there in the paragraph in Vinny's story, and then maybe you can answer my question.
I was taken aback because from what we heard before Josh McDaniels took the head coaching job, he wanted Derek Carr when he was in New England. Mm-hmm. So he had an affinity for Derek Carr. I think even David Carr went on the NFL Network and pointed this out. So for them to fall out of love or out of like with him within weeks, Vinny Bonsignor of the Las Vegas Review-Journal didn't say exactly when, but I would guess it would have to be maybe the Chiefs game, and the Raiders just, you know, gave up that lead and lost that game. Maybe it was further into the season, because remember, Vinny didn't say exactly when. Maybe it was the Saints game that confirmed it for them when they didn't get across the 50-yard line with Carr. But to answer your question, I think the reason you keep Derek Carr, even though you lose faith in him, is you don't want the team to go in the tank. Because basically, if you trade Derek Carr in the midst of the season, in the first half of the season, you're telling your guys, we're punting on the quarterback, and we're basically starting over at the position. There are going to be a lot of changes. And I think you want to keep that competitiveness, because remember, the Raiders were in the playoff picture up until they lost that Rams game. They had a chance. You remember, I was putting the tweet out every week that mathematically could be 10-7 to make the playoffs. So they were in the mix up until late in the season. So you don't want to throw in a towel, but you don't want to make a major change when you still have a chance to turn things around. And they went on a bit of a streak. So it's, in a sense, it's good that they didn't pull the plug in the middle of the season, because, again, you don't want guys to go in the tank and say, okay, throw our hands up, the season's over, we're trading our starting quarterback. So I kind of understand why they didn't make the move when they fell out of life with Carr at the moment.
Well, and how much of that, too, it had to do with the position they find themselves in? If they knew within a few weeks, Mo, let's just make some assumptions here. Of course, I'm making assumptions. This is not based on any reality or information we have. But if they had this inclination that, you know, we're going to move on from him, they knew the out in his contract meant that either they were going to walk away from him and eat $5 million, or they were going to start to try to trade him. And so my question to you, while you fix your light, if you're watching us on YouTube, Mo's light bulb went out. But if you're the Raiders and you're thinking about trading Derek Carr, you might as well let him play a little bit. Like, as long as you feel like he's not hurting you so bad that you don't have a chance to win games. And clearly, I don't think Derek Carr was ever in the position or performed so poorly that you would yank him in the middle of the game. Has there been times? Sure, but not really consistently. So if that's the case, I totally understand. Look, let's keep him in there. Let's give him an opportunity. He is a veteran. And your point about the locker room is a great one. I didn't think about it, to be frank with you. The fact that he's able to keep that locker room together, because those guys, you know, when you make a switch like that, that changes the whole trajectory of your season. But the trade value, might that have something to do with it too?
I would say, of course, the trade value has something to do with it. But again, you don't want to tip your hand and not tip your hand, but you don't want to give the inclination that you're giving up on the season before you're, I don't want to say mathematically eliminated, but before you give your guys a chance to turn around. You remember, you had Devontae Adams. Right. I know Hunter Renfrow had been hurt. Darren Waller, at the time, we didn't know that he was going to be out for an extended period. Remember, he played a little bit in that Chiefs game and went out. So again, we don't know at what point the Raiders felt like Derek Carr wasn't the guy. So until we get that information, we can't really piece that together. But again, in the first half of the season, if you trade your starting quarterback, there's going to be a ripple effect in the locker room. And I don't think they wanted to have that ripple effect that early in the season whenever they decided they wanted to move on from Derek Carr.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, that how did – man, I'll tell you what. Maybe it's the holdover from New England. But the fact that no media got word of that tells you that they kept it very small. And we heard in some of the reporting over the last week since this change was made, Mo, that Mark Davis was okay with it. I wonder, too, and again, this is just me wondering, I wonder if that is in case, indeed the case, then Mark Davis was already there, but he was waiting for his football people to make their own determination, which some people he talked to continue to deny that Mark Davis felt that way. But if you're a Raiders fan, with all the criticism Mark Davis is getting right now, too, that makes me feel better, because over the years, Mark Davis has been maybe too involved in the football. And now he brought in these two new guys, his coach and his GM. And if this is all true and accurate, then he's letting his football guys make the decisions. And that's a good thing, isn't it?
Right. But I also want to bring up something. Do you remember the WNBA playoffs were going on, the Aces win the championship, and Mark Davis was tending to those WNBA matters and supporting that franchise.
Yep.
Remember when he came back and Vic, I think it was Vic Tafer, wrote it in The Athletic that now his full focus is back on the Raiders, and they were like 2-5.
Yeah.
I think that now, I know Vinny alludes to maybe the decision was made early in the season, but I think at that moment when Mark Davis had that closed door meeting with Josh McDaniels and probably Dave Ziegler, I think at that point it was discussed that look, barring a turnaround, we're going to move on from Derek Carr. Yeah. And the discussion was, okay, do we move on now or do we move on in the offseason? It was probably like, well, we could still turn it around. So we'll give Carr a chance to prove us wrong and to play his way back into our plans.
Yeah.
But if this doesn't change and we have a sub 500 season, we're moving on. I'm not in the room. Now, this is not a report. I'm not saying that I knew this for a fact. But if I were to just apply common sense to the situation based on Vinny Bonsignore's report, I would assume that that was a conversation that was had with Mark Davis.
Yeah, and also the timing, even though, and I'm answering my own question, I guess, in some ways, but the timing. So you see the Raiders get to Pittsburgh on Christmas Eve. They're still mathematically alive. It's in the, what, low 30s or high 20 percentage. But still, the way things were lining up, if they had beaten Pittsburgh, and then suddenly when they have that 49er game, there's bigger implications there. And you don't know what happened. So to me, I can see them waiting till that point using your logic from earlier when you answered this question, which is, hey, we're not mathematically eliminated. But then you lose to the Steelers. And not only that, but Derek Carr just looks terrible in that game. And especially, I mean, the last throw he had as a Raider probably was just brutal. And so it makes it easier for you to then say, hey, you know, we got two games left. We're not going to make the playoffs technically. So let's see what this kid's got. And it gives Derek Carr the opportunity to get the Band-Aid ripped off. He can deal with his time. They let him walk away from the team for a couple weeks so that by the time they regroup with him after the season's over, maybe, I mean, the feelings will still be raw, but maybe, just maybe, they can come to some agreement so that he can get moved.
Right. So as you just pointed out, if the rate, let's keep in mind the AFC, the 17 AFC is not locked up yet. The Dolphins have still nosedive. They've lost several games in a row. So had the Raiders beat the Steelers and upset the 49ers, which was plausible if you watched that game, they'd be 8-8 right now with a chance to get in. With obviously they would need some, and not even need some help, because they would be ahead of the Patriots, who have the number 7 seed right now because they beat the Patriots head to head. So Derek Carr had a chance to kind of make his case to extend his career with the Raiders had he played well against the Steelers, because then they wouldn't have benched him. They probably wouldn't have benched him against the 49ers because they probably said, well, we're still in playoff contention. Derek Carr played well in cold weather against the Steelers. We still have a chance. So,
correct.
Yeah, I support how they handle the situation. Now, there are going to be discussions. We're probably going to get into this today about how they handle it once they benched him. I have thoughts about that, and especially what Derek Carr said. David Carr said. Mm-hmm. There was something that he said that I want to point out, but I'll let you close it out, because there's a lot to talk about there.
Well, and we in that same story too, there was some stuff about Devontae Adams. A lot of fans are worried Devontae Adams will walk away, and in essence, just to paraphrase real quickly, Vinny said that there's no sense that he's going to do that. In fact, it said something to the effect that while they're friends and close friends, they're not so joined at the hip, was the term that Vinny used, that Devontae Adams wants to walk away. But if for some reason he doesn't like the plan moving forward, the Raiders would be fine moving him. Now, people don't take that as an explosive revelation. That's anybody. If any player at any point doesn't want to be with the team anymore, of course the team. Now, Devontae Adams has massive value. So if somebody's not happy and they don't want to be there because Derek Carr is gone or he doesn't like the new quarterback, then fine. The other thing is, we're going to talk about in the second segment, which is the Tom Brady situation. If I'm Devontae Adams and Tom Brady's coming, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. But we'll talk about that here in a second. For the rest of this segment, I want to get to your point about the David Carr interview on NFL Network, where he works. And I was highly critical of them and how he handles his covering of his brother. Not from a personal standpoint. Brothers defend brothers. Got no problem with that. I got a lot of people angry tweeting at me over that. Totally fine. But when you're in the professional realm, it's sort of like being a judge. If your son comes before you on trial for drunk driving, you should recuse yourself. Okay? So I got no problem with David Carr being a spokesperson. But when you're in the media, I think now I understand people know it's his brother. It still bothers me just because I'm a purist when it comes to the media stuff. But anyway, I'm going to play the clip, Mo, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about what he said, because I agree with a lot of what he said, actually, in retrospect. So let's listen to that. Here's David Carr on the NFL Network about Derek Carr and his breakup with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Derek Carr has said for a long time that I'm only going to play for the Raiders. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Raiders or no one else. So that's loyalty. So he was fully invested. Six head coaches. Khalil Mack gets traded. Amari Cooper is shipped off. John Gruden gets fired midseason. He's going through all this turmoil, right? He never called out a coach, never called out the organization, never called out the top brass in the organization, never said anything. All he did was try to bring people in. He tried to bring in his best friend, which he was successful at, Davante Adams. That trade was dead. The Packers and the Raiders weren't going to trade, right? Mm. They got on the phone and made it happen. So he's bringing people in the entire time. Is he appreciated for that? No. I sit on this desk, and I'm every year, yeah. I have to talk about Derek. Oh, he's going to be replaced. Oh, someone's going to bring him in, right? They got to trade. They got to do this. They got to do that. All he did was go out and be the all-time leading passer in the history of the Raiders. So when I look at this, all right, it wasn't Derek that changed, right? It was the Raiders that changed. Yeah. So when I go forward with Derek, that conversation about him being retired or a Raider is no longer an option. He's playing football again, right? So he's reinvigorated. He's excited to go out. So the Raiders are going to seek a trade. They're going to bring trades, which Derek has a no trade clause, and they're going to listen. And he's going to look for teams that have a stable situation between their head coach and their ownership, right? Stable, right? He's also going to be looking for a team that is also looking for a quarterback that has a reputation for game-winning drives and fourth-quarter comebacks. I'm excited. Maybe he's the missing piece for someone. We'll see what happens. I'm excited for my brother's future. I'm a little upset, all right? So that happens.
All right, big bro.
I had to vent a little bit. Yeah. I had to vent a little. That's all.
I like it. This is what it's for. It's a safe space.
It's a safe space.
It's a safe space. I guess journalistic enterprise as well. It is the NFL Network. It's their network, so I get it. But Mo, get your comments on that. I mean, there's like six things I want to talk about with this one. But jump in. Tell me. I know you had one at the top of your mind.
I have two main things. Number one, and I spoke about this on the previous show. The reason I don't have a major problem with David Carr speaking on behalf of his brother is because it's above him. And I don't, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but I don't want to sound like a hypocrite because we all know we're in the media, right? So we know it ratings drive actions or segments. So if you have a popular segment that gets hits on Twitter or gets hits on Facebook or TikTok, networks like that. Mm-hmm. More eyes on their show, more eyes on their product. So David Carr is allowed to opine on his younger brother, Derek, because I assume that the NFL Network wants this because, look, we're talking about it. Mm-hmm. So people who watch our show are not going to say, well, I want to hear what David had to say.
Right.
So that's more eyes on that segment. So they probably want this because that brings them viewers. That brings them rating. That brings them eyes. That gets people mm-hmm. talking. That's what they mm-hmm. want. So that's sure. why I can't sit here and be a hypocrite and say, I don't like what's going on here, because we're fueling that machine. We're getting people to watch that segment, what David Carr said. Now, the other thing that stuck out to me was he said the Davante Adams trade was dead and Derek and Davante were the ones that got that going. So I'm sure just when Wendy's listening to this and say, aha, see, this is why Dave Ziegler doesn't deserve credit for bringing in Davante Adams, because this was on Derek. And like I said, I go back to saying, well, they didn't have to keep Derek. So they kept Derek. Who knows? They may have kept Derek to think, okay, well, we're going to get Davante if now they probably didn't know this, but now they're thinking in hindsight, well, we kept Derek long enough to get Davante here, mm-hmm. get rid of Derek. Davante may likely stay. So
yeah.
we got something out of keeping Derek Carr here. But I will say that it's interesting that David said this, because it kind of alludes to that to the people. It gives people who think that Davante is going to leave because Derek leaves some ammunition to say,
it does.
Well, Derek leaves. If he was able to recruit Davante on his own when the trade talks were dead, how do we know that the next team that Derek goes to, he doesn't pick up the phone and say, Davante, you know, the team I went to, they have a first, second round pick. Come on down, you know,
yeah.
kind of play hardball with the Raiders and we can play together again elsewhere. So,
yeah,
pointing that out.
Yeah, no, and I think those are both good points. Although I think on your first point, yeah, the desire for ratings and all that stuff is one thing, but again, you're having it's his brother, and so you're getting one side of the story, and you're not getting the full picture. You're getting the reaction, but I get it. It's the old adage. It goes back to early days of journalism, which is if it bleeds, it leads, and so I get that piece mm-hmm. of it. But a couple of things that I want to key on. Number one was he talked about how the Raiders had changed, not Derek. And that's 100% correct. The Raiders changed their approach. They have a different person at GM than Derek Carr had when he got there. He's had several of them as he talked about the dysfunction, something I also 100% wholeheartedly agree with David Carr on, which is it's been a mess there. But I keep reminding people Derek Carr agreed twice to stay in the mess. Now, did he assume it was going to be a mess every time, every year? No, but he knew. He knows Mark Davis. He's been in the organization his entire career. So when they offered him the biggest contract any quarterback had ever had, he took the money. Then this time, after all the crap he's been through over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, he took another extension. So let's put our big boy pants on and realize that, yes, the organization changed and the dysfunction is absolutely correct, but you signed up for it, number one, or at least the chance for it based on history. Number two was this idea, and this is where I think, and we're all human, we all get sensitive at times, so don't get me wrong, but this idea, well, he's not, nobody appreciates, I have to talk every year about how he's not going to get traded, and da, 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 da. Okay, it's a tough business, man. I mean, listen, there's lots of people who have to talk about their job every single year. I mean, in every sport. So I get that he feels betrayed by that, but it's a business first. If David Carr said something inappropriate on TV, which I'm not saying he would, do you think the NFL Network would have any problem or loyalty to David Carr and not fire him? They would. They would. We see it every single day. Business comes first. And so that piece of it to me is real interesting. He then talks about his performance. What I'm struck by, Mo, and I'll encapsulate this so I don't go into 18 different things, is that he talks about Derek's performance and, I mean, about loyalty and him sticking through all that stuff and that he wanted to be a Raider. All true. And I believe he meant it. I really do. I don't think Derek Carr is a liar. But the performance he points out, fourth quarter comebacks, all these things, they did not transpire into the team winning. Not all his fault. Don't take me wrong. Don't misquote me. But I don't understand the court. That is where the brother, the protectiveness of family, is overlooking the fact that your brother didn't get bounced because they're just disloyal jerks. He got bounced because they don't believe in him, and he didn't perform as well this year. That's not brought up.
I agree with you. And I will say, and I said this on Twitter on Wednesday, loyalty and objectivity don't go hand in hand.
True.
I don't expect when I tune into NFL Network and I see or hear David Carr talk about his brother, I expect to get one side of the story.
Correct.
So when I tune into NFL Network and I hear Ian Rappaport or Mike Garofalo or Tom Pelissero, then I expect to get a balanced, fair
right
picture of the story. So it all depends on know who you're listening to and know what you're getting. Yeah. And I use this analogy. Nick Wright is on Fox Sports, right? Shout out to Nick Wright. You know, he went to Syracuse, has a successful career in the media. Mm-hmm. Nick Wright is clearly a Chiefs fan. That is, there's no doubt about that. When I hear Nick Wright, when I hear Nick Wright break down NFL games and the Chiefs come up, I know he's going to be biased toward the Chiefs. Right. I know that, right? But he's not exercising the ultimate journalistic etiquette either. So what I'm saying is David Carr is one of many people in the media who may not, Nick Wright may not have family, but there are clear biases and slants all over the media. You see it all the time. These people in the media, that, like you and I, get on TV and they talk, and you know they're fans of the Jets, they're fans of the Raiders, they're fans of the Chiefs, they're fans of the Eagles, whoever, the Cowboys. Michael Irvin is an analyst. We know he played for the Cowboys, but when he talks, we all know this where the slant is going.
Yeah.
Stephen A. Smith on ESPN, we know where this, he's a Steelers fan. I can rattle off so many media personalities and I can tell you what their fan affiliation is.
Which is so foreign to me, Mo, because that's not how it used to be. I know it's the new world. We just have to, it is what it is. I mean, the publications, the channels they work for, they all accept it as new journalistic ethics. I don't per se, but that's okay. I mean, that's where we're at. I'm not in control of the system. So I can be critical of those folks and they probably don't care. But I think in this case, and we'll end the conversation on this one, unless you have anything else, which is, I just think in this case that that the way he's presenting it has gone to, for me, an unprofessional realm. And I mean unprofessional in that, you know, listen, I've heard, because somebody tweeted at me about Nick Lombardi being on the Raiders and how his dad, who we've had on the show many times, talks about the Raiders all the time, but his dad is critical of the Raiders. Like, his dad is critical of the offense, which his son, quote unquote, runs. That's the difference for me. You're defensive of your brother, totally fine. He feels betrayed. He's loyal, whatever. At the same time, look, you know, Did Derek play his best? No, he didn't play his best, but he's not going to say that. So I get it, because you know what your brother's saying that on TV. But right. I just think that that's why it's such a delicate situation. And I think, nothing against David Carr, but I think that's why you don't have guys like that covering their own family or teams that they like. You but back to your point about ratings. So there you go. All right. Well, we're going to, do you have anything else before we close out?
Yeah. I have one other thing.
Yes.
And this may be a little long, so I'm sorry, but I have to get this out there.
We're already at 28 minutes for the segment, but it's okay. It's a long one.
I'm so sorry, but I have to get this off my chest. And Carr fans and Carr supporters are going to be mad at me for saying this, but this whole thing that he's a victim, I think is blown out of proportion, because we haven't heard directly from Derek Carr yet. We've heard from David Carr. We've heard from reporters. We've heard rumors, but we haven't heard directly from Derek. We don't know how he feels. And my thing is, if the Raiders have done Derek Carr so dirty, as some fans say, I don't see how Derek Carr would want to work with them on a trade. So my logic is, if you know you're going to trade this guy, why are you going to treat him poorly?
Right.
So I think we'll see what happens if Derek Carr is willing to work with the Raiders, because he can mess up, he can blow up their trade plans completely and say, I'm not waiving my no trade clause at all.
Right.
Just cut me, and I can make enough money somewhere else. I don't have to make the same contract I'm making now, but I can make enough money. I just don't see why the team would do him filthy knowing they have to work with him in the offseason to trade him. It just doesn't make sense to me, and this is why I don't think that Derek Carr feels like they've done him absolutely dirty. I think we're hearing from fans. We're hearing from his brother. We're hearing from everyone but him. We don't know exactly how Derek Carr feels right now.
But again, the question that I've posed over and over and over to the fans of this show and fans of Raider Nation who feel that way, and even some that I don't know that I just jumped in their conversations, which I usually don't do on social media, was, okay, so how should they have done it? How should they have said, hey, Derek, you're benched? And I jokingly, sometimes smartass-like, say, what do you want them to do? Throw a parade for a guy they benched? Like, no one's given me an answer except for they should have let him play the final two games. Okay, that's one answer. But they benched him. If you bench somebody, how do you treat it from that point on? Well, they more than benched him. They were going to get rid of him. Okay, they're getting rid of him. Yes, they are. So how do you handle that with more respect? Again, well, people, fans, from, and I get it from a fan standpoint, let him play his two games. Let him do a ring around the stadium and wave at people like you do when you retire. But that's not what happens. Look at what happened with Peyton Manning in Indianapolis. Look what happened with Eli Manning in New York. Okay, that's not how. Now, Eli Manning retired eventually, and he got celebrated. But when he first got benched, there was no like, okay, yeah, we're gonna have a parade for you. Thank you, thank you, Eli, for everything. No, there was none of that. There's a time for that, and for Derek Carr, one day when the feelings subside, he should come back. He should light the torch. They should honor him. No question. He was a loyal Raider. Once a Raider, always a Raider. And Derek Carr should always be that. I just think the shock of it is just overwhelming people emotionally. They're not thinking.
And one more thing, and I'll shut up, I promise, on this segment. But you pointed it out. I think, and I watched Eli Manning kind of get chewed to the side when he, when he was over the hill, so to speak. And I think, as you said, there will be a time where they will honor him. It's just not right now. I think once all is said and done, his career is over, he's going to get showered with so much gratitude and respect. It's just not going to happen now because the feelings are still raw.
Well, not only that, but and maybe the Eli Manning thing at the end of it's a little different, because Derek Carr is not going to retire. Derek Carr's got years left. If he wants to go play, mm-hmm. which David said he does, mm-hmm. he's got years to play. So you don't celebrate. I mean, Ken Stabler got traded. Al Davis traded him, okay, to the Saints. They didn't have a parade for him either. They celebrated him afterwards. So I think it's the same type of thing. Ken Stabler wasn't done. He wanted to play, so they traded him. Okay? So I think that there's going to be time for healing. The timing is not now, because this team is focused on the future. All right. And we're going to focus on the future in the next segment. In fact, part of Vinny's article, part of all the news cycle this week has been, yes, again, rumors, Tom Brady to the Raiders, Josh McDaniels. All, if you listen to Mo enough, you know he's been talking about a guy that would fit the McDaniels system. Who's run the McDaniels system better than TB12? Nobody. So we're going to talk about that and why the case for Tom Brady might be the best one. We'll talk about that coming up after the break. You're listening to Mo and Scott. This is Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey original podcast. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Segment number two of Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey original podcast covering your Las Vegas Raiders. Also, for those of you listening to us on 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas and also 1140 The Bet, hello, Nevada. We appreciate you being with us. If you're listening to us on the radio and you don't subscribe on the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find Silver and Black Today. I am Scott Gilbranson, your host, along with my co-host and partner, Mr. Mo Moten. He is a national NFL writer for Bleacher Report, also the Raiders columnist on sportsnot.com. Follow him on Twitter, M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N. That's Mo Moten. And I am at LV Gully, the show, SNB Today. Okay, Mo, so of course, as soon as the Derek Carr decision was made, now almost about 10 some days ago, was who's going to be the next quarterback? Well, we know Jarrett Stidham is in the middle of his two-game audition for some role with the Raiders or with perhaps another opportunity somewhere else if he doesn't stay with the Raiders, because he will be a free agent after the season. But one of the names that keeps coming up, of course, is Tom Brady because of his familiarity with the system that Josh McDaniels, he was his offensive coordinator, or somebody probably would say that Tom Brady was the offensive coordinator and he dictated more. But either way, Tom Brady is having a year in Tampa. He started off poorly. Let's just face it. Coming off the Super Bowl win and all that jazz that they had a couple years ago, he struggled this year. Now, we talk about outside influences, things like that. Tom Brady went through a divorce right at the beginning of the year. We saw it was very public, very ugly. All those things happened. So maybe that was part of his struggle. He also has a Buccaneers team that has aged significantly, an older roster. Also beset by perhaps the most injuries of maybe five teams in the NFL this season, but yet they sit at 8-8 ready to make the playoffs and won the division. So you look at this team, you look at Tom Brady, a lot of people have written him off and saying he's dried up. I don't think that, but you look at Tom Brady, let's first start with where he's at 45 years old. Yes, he's not the 35-year-old Tom Brady or not even the 40-year-old Tom Brady, but Mo, give me an assessment of Tom Brady as a possible candidate. We'll talk about him getting to Vegas, but as far as a football player go, where is Tom Brady right now? How should people look at his skills, his ability at his age?
I want to talk directly to the Tom Brady is washed up people really quick. Just hear me out really quick now. You mentioned the injuries, and I get all teams have to deal with injuries. But one thing that I want to point out that doesn't get enough play or enough discussion is, let's remember, Bruce Arians is no longer there. I think Tom Brady misses the structure and the touch that Bruce Arians put on that offense, because he has the same weapons. I know his offensive line has been banged up, but when you got two Pro Bowl wide receivers and a good supporting cast around that group, decent tight end play, you would figure Tom Brady would be able to move the ball with that offense. But when you watch the games, I've watched a lot of Buccaneers Tom Brady games, his time in sync with his receivers just look off. And I think you can attribute some of that to Bruce Arians no longer being there and him talking directly to or game planning directly with Byron Leftwich. That's not Byron Leftwich, but Bruce Arians has been around the block so many times. And we all know how his offense looks when it's clicking. And it doesn't look like it has looked this year. Now, the other thing I want to say about Tom Brady is, yes, his statistical numbers show that he's having a down year. But if you plug him into the Vegas offense, now I know Vegas needs a couple offensive linemen, maybe three of them. They need a defense. So he will be leaving behind some things that he had in Tampa Bay. Yep. But he's got Darren Waller for now, assuming that the Rays don't trade these guys. He has Darren Waller. He has Hunter Renfrow. He has arguably the best wide receiver in the game would have in Davante Adams. I think that would make Davante Adams happy to knowing that a winner like Tom Brady is coming to Vegas. And I think Tom Brady would be happy knowing that he has those offensive playmakers. Now, even at 45, 46 years old, I think Tom Brady can still attract quality free agents to come to Vegas with him. So for the people saying, well, Vegas doesn't have a good defense, Vegas doesn't have a great offensive line, I think an offensive lineman or two would come to Vegas with Brady knowing that, okay, this team has a chance if Brady has protection. Right. Because I will say one of the cons that I have against Brady is in this league today, you're not bringing in, I won't say immobile, but statue quarterbacks and seeing them succeed. The quarterbacks you see coming into the league now and succeeding can move. Tom Brady cannot do that. So if you're bringing in a Tom Brady, you better have a good offensive line because he's not moving. Right. that's one thing. So if you're bringing Tom Brady, I would want to know that he can attract a couple of offensive linemen, maybe a defender or two, because the Raiders have over $34 million in cap space right now. So they can maneuver free agency if they bring in a Tom Brady, assuming that Derek Carr is off the roster. So it's not like, okay, we bring in Tom Brady, what do we do now? If guys still want to play with Tom Brady, who, by the way, is a winner, and if we all say he's having a down year, guess what? The Buccaneers are still in the playoffs. And by the way, I watched the Raiders blow. Right. I watched the Raiders blow 5 second half double-digit leads. Yep. I watched Tom Brady bring his team back and win four games late in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
You cannot tell me that Josh McDaniels looks at that and says, well, if I'm on the hot seat or if I'm under some pressure to win in 2023 – who else can you trust than the guy you've coached for about 13 years as a quarterback coach and an offensive coordinator other than Tom Brady?
Yeah, yeah. And I think you're right. I think a couple things. Number one, Mo and I are not sitting here making a campaign to get Tom Brady. We're talking about, because people jump to these conclusions. But I will say this, that where his skill set is now, I agree with you. Is he the 40-year-old Tom Brady? No, he's not. He's had a down year, and I think you know, for all of you out there who I think have a good point about why Derek Carr struggled a little bit this season because of coaching, I think you're right. I'm not saying it was all Derek Carr. We've said that all along here, been very critical of Josh McDaniels at times. And the same can be said for Tom Brady. As great as he is, Byron Leftwich and that coaching staff, it's a whole different feel than what they had with Bruce Arians. And so there's a little bit of that. And then you add in the injury and everything on top of it, including the personal things at the beginning of the year, which would be distracting to the best athlete ever. So I look at that. But the key to your point, I think, Mo, where Tom Brady makes sense and why they could get the roster further along and win faster, not only because of his skill set, but because of that master recruiter role. You heard David Carr talk about Derek Carr recruiting Davante Adams. When you look at Tom Brady, and I know how fans feel because of their allegiances, but if you're an NFL player and you're a free agent and you're looking to go somewhere, you kind of want to be close to that guy because it tends to work out that wherever he goes, you have a pretty good chance of being in the Super Bowl or winning the Super Bowl. Okay? So if that's the case,
Or at least getting you into
the playoffs at the very least. And then you toss in the Vegas thing and all that stuff, and it makes sense. And of course, the Raiders, despite the fact that they've struggled for 25 years, it's still the Raiders brand. So to me, it's feasible. Now, here's the question I'll ask you before we move on and why I think the case for Tom Brady makes sense. Will it happen? I have no idea. I think there's a possibility. What the percentage is, no clue. 20, 30% at this point, who knows? If it was between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, Mo, what would you do?
I would probably...
You're stumped.
That's a tough question because on one hand, you're going to have to pay a lot more for Aaron Rodgers. And then you won't have as much to spend on the supporting cast as you would with a Tom Brady. The other thing is Tom Brady knows Josh with the system. I would probably go from a logistics standpoint, knowing that the Raiders have work to do in the secondary across their defense and the offensive line. I would probably go with Tom Brady because then you can get more with him as far as the supporting cast. If you get Aaron Rodgers, he's probably going to want his money. I believe he's on a $50+ million contract. So you're limited as far as your financial resources, which you can do. And we all know the Raiders need multiple defenders. They need multiple offensive linemen. Who knows what happens with Josh Jacobs, but they need pieces other than a quarterback.
Correct. And as we didn't mention it earlier on, but just so folks know, Tom Brady can walk away from the Buccaneers after this season scot-free. So he can go wherever he wants. Or he can stay there. So it depends what happens there, too. I think the Buccaneers will keep him, try to keep him as much as they can. But as Mo said, Derek Carr could end up there. That might be a spot where he ends up. If you read Mo's latest column where he talks about possible destinations, right? See, I'm plugging you, man. You got to love that, right?
That's what partnership is about.
That's right. But that's the case for Tom Brady. We'll see where it all goes. And we've got a lot more talking to do about this and other possible targets. Mo has mentioned in the past, Mac Jones knows the system as well as Jimmy Garoppolo, who's hurt way too often, but somebody else the Raiders could look at as well. We're going to take a quick break here in the second leg here of our show, Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey original podcast, also heard on 98.5 The Fan and 1140 The Bet in Las Vegas. When we come back, we're going to move forward a little bit. We're going to talk about the game against the Chiefs at Allegiant, down at Allegiant Stadium. Do the Raiders have a shot at this one? I think they do, and they can play spoiler. Isn't that nice against the hated Kansas City Chiefs? You're listening to Mo and Scott. This is Silver and Black Today. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey original podcast. We appreciate you guys being with us. You can also catch the show on 98.5 The Fan, 1140 The Bet in Las Vegas. If you're listening and dialing in the radio, or now it's just touching, right? There's no knobs anymore, really. But anyway, you can find it there or stream it on the Odyssey app, which is a really cool app, or anywhere you get your audio. All right, Mo, let's talk in this segment, the season coming to an end on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium for the Raiders. Of course, a disappointing season for the fans, a disappointing season in that lots of change is going to hit this organization in the offseason. We know starting at quarterback, we'll see a lot of changes on the defense, some on the offensive line. We don't know about coaching staff, although I think the coaching staff mostly at the highest levels, coordinator levels, will stay intact, no problem, especially when the offensive coordinator technically is your head coach. He's not going anywhere either. But as the season comes to an end, the Raiders have an opportunity, Mo, with this game against the Chiefs to not only beat one of their hated AFC West rivals, but perhaps to play spoiler with the seeding for the AFC playoffs. Now, we don't know as of this show what the NFL is going to do about the Bengals and the Bills. We know they're not playing that game this week, clearly, because we're rolling up on Thursday. And then Sunday, they've kept week 18 as is. Are they going to add this game between week 18 and the first week of the playoffs somehow? We don't know. On a short week, a Thursday, we don't know what's going to happen. So it could end up that they count it as a no contest. Both teams are not punished and the winning percentages rule out. If that's the case, then the Chiefs pretty much get the number one seed. But the Raiders have the opportunity here to play spoiler. And Jarrett Stidham, round two, has a great game against the number one defense in the NFL. Now gets to play the middle road off our defense. But on the other side, offense, Mahomes having another MVP-like year. How do you see the matchup here for the Raiders, knowing the issues they have on defense? We saw it last year against the 49ers, or last week against the 49ers, but also on offense with still a young quarterback who's got a lot to prove.
I think we're going to see a scoring shootout part two in the Wild Wild West between the Chiefs and the Raiders. Last game was 30-29 Chiefs. I think we could see a similar score, assuming Jarrett Stidham looks even closer as impressive as he did in his career start debut. So I think Jarrett Stidham is going to actually play well. A lot of people have said, you know, pump the brakes. It's one game. And we've said that too, that once you put a full game on film as a starter, defenses are able to game plan. They know your tendencies. They pick up on certain things that you do that you may not see that you do under the huddle, that tips them off to how you're going to throw, where you're going to put the ball. So it's going to be a tougher challenge. But as you said, it's a weaker defense compared to the 49ers unit. The Chiefs have allowed the most passing touchdowns this season. So that's something to look forward to if you're a Raiders fan, you're cheering for Jarrett Stidham to possibly get meaningful snaps in 2023. But again, I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think it could be a 6-point game either way, but I'm going to say that the Chiefs win it because they're going to have more on the line. And as I've said, the Raiders defense, while it has played well in stretches, let's not overblow this. Their secondary, not good. Nate Hobbs has had his struggles. Merrick has had his struggles. No Denzel Perryman, no Chandler Jones. That Chiefs defense is going to put up a lot of points.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at too. I think maybe I'm a little more bullish. I think the Raiders could win this game if their offense performs like it did and limits turnovers. Listen, I mean, if Stidham isn't knocked back into, and I'm not making excuses, he threw an interception. His first interception actually was worse than the second. But if you look at what happened there with Colton Miller, and he completes that pass because the receiver was open, by the way. If he does hit that pass, the Raiders are in the red zone, maybe even a touchdown, and they win it in overtime. So I look at that and I think to myself, if the Raiders can limit, and Jarrett Stidham can limit turnovers and then get a break somehow from the Chiefs with a turnover, then I think they can outscore the Chiefs. But I think that's going to be a hard task because I do believe exactly what you said, which is this defense is going to have a hard time containing. Listen, in what year, Travis Kelce in 6 or 7, I can't remember, they've not been able to stop him in that many years. In any game, they can't stop him. So Travis Kelce is going to go nuts, and then you're going to have Patrick Mahomes doing what Patrick Mahomes does. And so, yeah, you're going to have to outscore them. So the odds of the Raiders beating them, I think, is low, but it is there if they can play, quote unquote, almost like that perfect game on offense. And I think Jarrett Stidham showed he could. If he limits two plays last week, I think they beat the 49ers. So we'll see how it all goes down. But as folks roll into this game, I mean, the Chiefs too, Mo, here's the thing. As I said to start this segment, we don't know what's going to happen with the seeding quite yet. If the Chiefs know by Sunday that they got the number one seed locked in, do they pull people back?
Possibly. And Raider fans will probably not want to hear that because they want a higher draft pick when it comes rolls around in April. So I know Rock Raider 585 asked me, you know, what are the implications if the Raiders actually win or lose that game? I think they could slide up or down two spots based on the other teams. The Falcons are in that area, top 10, top 11 picks. The Carolina Panthers are in that group. So it all depends on what some other teams do. But if you're rooting for a higher draft pick, obviously you're rooting. I hate to say rooting for a loss as a fan, but some fans are saying, well, the best case scenario is Jarrett Stidham looks good. The Raiders lose close to maintain a good spot in the draft order.
Right, because I think the highest they can move up at this point, based on what we know, is 6, right?
6 or 7.
6 or 7. So
because the Falcons are right with them too.
Yeah, the Falcons are right with them. So we'll see what happens there. And I think, listen, I think the Raiders, if they go after a quarterback in the draft, they're gonna probably try to trade up anyway, no matter where they land. But we'll see how that all works out. But it's this season again more. I think the Derek Carr situation, as explosive as that has been for fans, I'm not surprised by it, right? Because we had talked about the fact since the contract extension that he had an out. So this season being kind of with the upheaval in the season has been much more about wins and losses. And then as time went on, it was about the quarterback, and you get that. But I think for Raider fans, it would be nice in some ways to win the game to end the season. But to your point, when they're now in a, if you want to call it a mini rebuild mode, whatever you want to call it, retooling mode, however you want to say it, to lose has its benefits.
Right. I guess that's the soft landing, but as much as we talk about lose and get a good draft pick, you just said it though. What if they're able to get a one for Derek Carr? I don't think it lessens the significance of it, are they 6 or 8? Because
right.
Let's say they want CJ Stroud. I'm just putting this out there. Let's say they want CJ Stroud and they want to move up for him. You're going to probably package 2 first-round picks to move up anyway. Now, of course, you have to have a dance partner in a trade move like that. Is a team going to be willing to move back? What if the top 2 teams or top 3 teams want CJ Stroud as well? So to me, there are so many moving parts here.
Oh yeah.
I think the Rams, if they beat the Seahawks, that's how the Raiders will move up to the 6th spot. If the Rams beat the Seahawks and the Falcons beat the Buccaneers, Tom Brady is playing, by the way, then the Raiders lose, they can move up to 6. And I'm sure fans would be ecstatic because people are pining for Jalen Carter. And they're saying, well, if the Raiders get a veteran quarterback and they keep Stidham, he could be their developmental guy, get a top defender instead of a quarterback with the first pick. So a lot to talk about, obviously, a lot of playoff implications, draft implications. But I'm sure you and Murph will do a good job breaking it all down after the Chiefs game is over.
Yeah, we will. And that's where we're going to catch you next time, is on Saturday. Of course, the Raiders game is on Saturday this week, and as it was bumped to Saturday. So we will be with you after the game live. Myself, Murph, and Evan Grote will have instant reaction to how the Raiders perform against the Chiefs. So we'll get to see how Jarrett Stidham does as well. And then Mo and I will be back in our normal slot next Tuesday to talk about this. But Mo thinks the Chiefs, I think sort of the Chiefs, maybe the Raiders. I'm kind of in the middle on it. I think it could go either way. But if I'm throwing money down on it, I'm not betting the Jets when Mo tells me, because he told me last week to bet the Jets, and I did, and they didn't win. I was really disappointed. You warned me, though. You said, I'm telling you, but I'm not. Yeah. So anyway, but if I was betting, I'm betting the Chiefs for sure, depending on the line. We'll see where the line's at. But anyhow, we appreciate you being with us. Mo, I know you had your column about possible destinations for Derek Carr based on David Carr, you know, not being in a weird situation or a dysfunctional situation. Anything else coming up you want to tell people about?
Actually, Wednesday, I had out the scenarios for Jarrett Stidham. Basically, I said Jarrett Stidham is probably, at the very least, going to be the number 2 quarterback. Now, if the Raiders obviously go out and get a Brady, Jimmy G, Mac Jones, who I've thrown out, fans hate that idea, but I think Mac Jones is a possibility outside the box, of course. If one of those guys joins the Raiders, then Jarrett Stidham is going to be the number 2 guy. Yeah. The interesting part is if the Raiders don't bring in another veteran, And they just draft a rookie, Jarrett Stidham has a legitimate chance to be the starting quarterback in 2023, assuming that he plays well against the Chiefs. So I talked about that. The other comments you mentioned, quarterback carousel. Basically, I played matchmaker, matched a quarterback with the team. I took 8 of the top quarterbacks who are going to be available via free agency or trade, aka Derek Carr. And I have a spot for Derek Carr. I don't want to get too far into it. You mentioned it on a previous segment, but I have 2 spots that I think Derek Carr fits. And one spot that I put out there on Thursday, I think people are going to not be too surprised, but you don't hear a lot of people talking about it.
Oh, I mentioned last week, Miami, if Tua's done. So
I'm with you on that one. Reggie McKenzie is a front office executive. A lot of people are forgetting this. A lot of people are connecting Derek Carr to the Titans because Todd Downing is the offensive coordinator.
Yes.
Todd Downing has not been a great offensive coordinator. I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans let him go. Remember, the Titans fire their GM in the middle of the season. So I wouldn't be surprised if the direction of that team is up in flux. And remember what David Carr said. Not Darren. Darren's the other brother. Remember what David Carr said on NFL Network. His brother wants stability. And yeah. The Titans are in the midst of changes. I don't think that's appealing to Derek Carr.
Correct. Yeah. Miami's in a much better state. Also, Miami, who is really sucking wind because they don't have a quarterback.
Right? A healthy one.
A healthy quarterback. So that's what's happened there. If they had Derek Carr playing at his normal level right now, they're not in the middle of a 7-game losing streak or 6-game. I can't remember what it is at now, but I think they're there. So there you go. So there's kind words about Derek Carr for those of you keeping notes and seeing how many times I say things.
And Derek doesn't miss games. So that he'd be, to me, exactly. He'd be perfect. If the Raiders can't get a one for Derek Carr and they have to settle for a two, which Miami mm-hmm. Dolphins do have, he would be perfect for Miami. He would have Tyreek Hill. He would have Jalen Waddle, some key defenders over there. And again, he's healthy. Tua can't stay healthy. Teddy Bridgewater can't stay healthy. Derek Carr will uplift that franchise.
And it's a warm weather city. Yes, he's got to play in New England, Buffalo, and some other spots on the Cincinnati. West Coast. But he's Cincinnati. But other than that, he's I think he's fine. So we'll see how it goes. All right, Mo, we will talk to you next week, my friend.
We'll see if it's a win or a loss for the Raiders, but talk about it either way.
That's right. All right. For everyone here at Silver and Black today, including our producer, David Stepanian and Mo Moten, I am Scott Gilbranson. Don't forget, make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get the show, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find it. Also, make sure you check out the YouTube channel. You can watch us there as well. Subscribe, hit the notifications bell. For everybody here, have a great, great weekend. Enjoy the game, everybody. And we will talk to you Saturday night live after Raiders versus Chiefs. Take care, everybody.